Turn, if you would, back to Romans chapter 10, where our brother just read. Romans chapter 10. Back in May of 2020, I brought a message to you from Romans 10, verse 13. I know you all remember the message well and all the points and everything about it. But I'm so forgetful, I didn't. I didn't remember anything about it. And when it comes time for us to record TV broadcasts, the Lord has greatly blessed us with this opportunity to have a TV broadcast. And I go through outlines that I have already prepared and tailor them for television. I say things sometimes a little differently to the community than I do to us here in this room. But I found that outline, and I felt very strongly led to bring it on television. And it's, Lord willing, going to air April the 9th. That has to go through editing, and you got to close caption and all that kind of stuff. So it takes a little while to get on the TV. But we record, Brother Brandon comes over here, and we record on Tuesday mornings. That's the day we've set aside. I prepare on Monday for the TV broadcast on Tuesday. And then when that's over, I start working on Wednesday night. And then Wednesday morning, I finish Wednesday night. And then I do the bulletin. And then I start working on the Bible study. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday is me finishing all of Sunday's messages. And then I preach all those messages and we start over Monday morning. And that's why I had Brother Cody do the Bible study. Nice to have a break every now and then. But Monday morning, I was looking over some outlines and I found this outline from May of 2020. And it was all brand new to me. It was brand spanking new, and I was feeling in my heart, I need to say this to us again. When you know what the message is, you know what the message is. You go searching for the message, and you see things, and you see stories, and you see, you know, pictures and outlines in the Scripture, but it's not it until it's it, and you know. That's the message, and I was feeling in my heart, I've never, to this point, looked at an outline. And when I say outline, I mean the actual pages that I've brought to you. We've looked at Psalm 23 how many times? And Romans 8 how many times? But I mean, grab some pages that I've already preached to you. I've never felt in my heart, I need to say this again, just like this. But I was feeling it in my heart. So we filmed the TV broadcast Tuesday morning. And after that was over, Brother Brandon said to me, have you ever preached that for us? He said, I think that needs to be Sunday morning's message, which he has never said before. And I took that as confirmation, this is our message today. Now, I didn't have to tell you all that. I could have just, because you don't remember the message. I could have just started right in. But I wanted to tell you that so you will understand my sense of urgency in telling it again. I believe strongly that this is the message of the hour, and I pray that the Lord will show us something this morning, and I pray He'll cause us to do something this morning. Yes, do something. And it's this right here. Romans 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray God will teach us this morning what that means. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray God will teach us what that means, and I pray God will cause us to do it. And here's the reason why. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. Now, whatever God says in His Word is so. It is so. If God has written something in His Word, it is absolute truth. God cannot lie. And God does not write with trickery. There's no guile in Him. And that's what the word guile means. Trickery. God does not say one thing meaning something else. Never. He does not do that. Whatever He says, that's what He means. Plain and simple. Now that doesn't mean we always understand what He has said. It doesn't mean we always understand everything He has written. Sometimes we read things and we wonder, well, how does that fit into my doctrine? This doctrine that I have in my mind. And you know what I mean by that. You read verses of Scripture, and even we read that and think, well, how does that fit into the doctrine that I've been caused to believe? We may not always understand everything that He's written, but God's people believe everything that He has written. And this is the reason why, all right? This is the reason why. For God's people, this is our doctrine. Would you like to see our doctrine here? This is it. Now, this is important. This is the absolute truth for all of God's people. God's people do not try to conform the Word to their doctrine. Their doctrine, our doctrine, conforms to the Word. Now, this is so. This is truly so. When a person tries to conform the Word to his or her doctrine, and what that means is something's not lining up. If you have to conform it, if you have to try to twist it or try to bend it a little, or if it's not lining up, when somebody has to conform the Word to their doctrine, the only way you can do that is by throwing out the Word. That's what you got to do. You have to end up not believing the Word. A portion of the Word, half of the Word, most of the Word, whatever it may be. But when the Word is a person's doctrine, that person won't throw out one word. Not one word. He or she will believe all of it. And you can ask them, what do you believe? You ever had anybody ask you that? As soon as people find out what I do for a living, everybody asks me that. What do you believe? You can ask a believer, what do you believe? What do I believe? He or she will say, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what a believer believes. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God concerning God, whatever this says about God, concerning man, whatever this says about man, concerning God manifest in the flesh, Christ, whatever this word says about Christ, the only mediator between God and man, whatever God has said is absolute truth to be believed. And this is what God has said in Romans 10, verse 13. He said, whosoever, I want to emphasize, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, well, Gabe, wait a minute now. I thought you said you believed in election. God choosing who He would save. I thought you said you believed that salvation was in God's hands and not man. I thought you preach salvation is of the Lord. Amen. I do. I completely do. All right, well then, how can you say that you believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How can you believe that? Well, I can say that and believe that for two reasons. Number one, because God said so. And number two, it's for this reason. It's because John 5 verse 40 says, no man will. Not in his totally depraved natural condition. And John 6 verse 44 says, no man can. Not in his totally depraved natural condition. If he would, he couldn't. And if he could, he wouldn't. Psalm 110 verse 3 says, God has to make his people to be willing in the day of his power. God must first perform a work in his people before they will or can do anything. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So here's the thing about it. That call, that cry, is just the open evidence of God's work in a person. It's the response. And in understanding that, we can clearly see that this statement will hold true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If it's the response of God's work in God's choosing and God's doing, then whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That call is the evidence of the fact that a person has already been saved. Now, if God says something once, it carries an eternal weight of truth. All he has to do is say it one time. But God has said this three times in the Word. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 2. Now, this it's said here in Acts chapter 2, and right here tells us where it was originally said the first time. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the Old Testament, the prophet, the book of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. You see, he's saying, I will do all of this. I'm going to do this. And then in verse 21, he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is such good news. This is such a hopeful declaration. And if you'll turn with me over to Joel 2, let me show you where it was originally said. And I know it's hard to find. If your Bible's like mine, it's page 1139 in the Old Testament. But if we'll read how it was originally said, again, that page is 1139. And yours may or may not match up with me, but it'll get you in the ballpark anyway. Joel 2, everything we just read in Acts chapter 2, it's all said right here, but let me read that last verse. It's verse 32, Joel 2, verse 32. It says, now I'm going to give you time to find it. It's after Daniel, Hosea, if you can find Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. All right, Joel 2, verse 32, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." You see that? Who is going to call? Who is going to end up being a whosoever? It's whoever is in the remnant that the Lord calls. That's who. Our call unto Him is the evidence of His call to us. Everything that we do unto Him is only the response to Him doing it first. I quote this all the time, but David said in Psalm 27, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' that's when my heart cried, 'Thy face, Lord, will I seek.'" 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." That's why. Every action in us is only a reaction to Him. Our actions only evidence His actions. So, with that being said, let it be known that this truth will stand forever, okay? "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All right? Now, let's begin the message. And I'll stay within my normal window of time. But we're about to actually go in to what made me want to tell you this today. With all that being established, okay? All that being established, we're now going to go in to the heart of this message, what made me want to preach this to you, and I pray the Lord will make this so clear. I pray the Lord will open this up to us. I pray somebody will see this who has never seen it before. I do. I pray that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Does that strike anybody? Not every single person that cries, "Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 22, he said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord.'" And when our Lord says many, He means many. He doesn't mean a couple of people will say. He's talking about many. "Lord, Lord." And in verse 23, he said, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. Whatever God says in His Word is so. God cannot lie. God does not write with trickery. God does not say one thing and mean something else. Whatever He has said, that's what He means. If He said it, that's what He means. And this is what He said in Matthew 7, verse 21. He said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, this is what I pray God might cause us to understand this morning. Okay? Ask the Lord to help you enter into this. I pray that, all right, this is the moment. This message had a beginning segment. All right? This is the segment I want us to really get a hold of. Saying Lord and calling on the name of the Lord, those two things are not the same things. Those are two totally different things. I'm just going to take a minute here and lay it out. Okay, I'm just going to spell it out. I feel like this is the most effective way to get the point across. I'm just going to say it. Saying Lord is saying, Lord, look at me. To call upon the name of the Lord is to say, Lord, I'm looking to you. To say Lord is to say, I want recognition for the things that I've done. To call upon the name of the Lord is to say, I need forgiveness for the things that I've done. To say Lord is to say, give me what's coming to me. To call upon the name of the Lord is to say, please don't give me what's coming to me. To say Lord is to say, I plead my works. To call upon the name of the Lord is to say, I plead your works and your mercy and your grace because of your works. Do you see how verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached in your name, and in your name we cast out devils. Don't you see that? And in your name we did many wonderful works. Wonderful works. Don't you see what we did, Lord? Don't you see it? That's what that Pharisee in the temple said in Luke 18. Lord, I'm not as other men are. Don't you see that? I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I fast twice in the week. Don't you see that? I give tithes of all that I possess. That's saying, Lord, look at me. Lord, just look at me. God said concerning him, not justified. But while that Pharisee was saying, Lord, that publican was afar off calling upon the name of the Lord. As he smote upon his breast, he cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Concerning him, God said, justified. That's the difference. We see this difference. To say, Lord, is to say, I am. To call upon the name of the Lord is to say, you are. You are the I am, and I'm not. One cry is unto damnation, and one cry is unto life. We cannot just say, Lord. We have to call upon the name of the Lord. If we do, it'll be the evidence of His work in us, and He'll get the glory and the credit and all those things. But we must call upon His name. Now, what does that mean? All right, this message had three sections. You had the first one, and then the second one. We're now in the third one. And we'll wrap it up here. But what does it mean, okay? We must call upon His name. I believe we pretty well determined that by our second section. But just to be clear, what is it to call upon His name? Our Lord has declared His name in His Word. He's told us what His name is. In His Word. He said, this is who I am. And in knowing His name, we know who we're calling on and we know what we're calling for. In knowing His name. And I want to show you something and then I want to tell you something and we'll be done. And I pray God will cause us to really get a hold of this and call on His name. Turn with me over to Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verse 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He said, I am. I am that I am. I am what I am. There are two parts to His name. I am. To say that another way, the Lord is. The Lord is. Jehovah. The Lord. Jehovah is. I'm just going to tell you seven names that He has given to tell us who He is to us and for us. Each one of them say, the Lord is. Jehovah is, and then another component goes with it. And I was going to show you the first one and quote the rest, but I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to tell you the first one. Genesis 22 is when Abraham took Isaac up on Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. And just before he plunged that knife, God said, Abraham, behind you is a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham laid hold of that ram and slew that ram instead of his son. And that's what God the Father did to Jesus Christ instead of us. And Abraham was so thankful, he cried, Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. To call upon His name is to say, you are my provider. I cannot provide for myself what I need before God. So I'm calling on you. I'm calling on you. My only hope is that you provided for me everything I need to stand before God. I'm calling on you. I can't provide anything for myself. I can't provide my physical need, much less my eternal need. But you can. and I'm calling on you. All right, now here's the rest of them. Exodus 15:26, our Lord declared his name to be Jehovah Rapha, and that means the Lord is our healer. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. To call upon his name is to call upon the healer, the only one who can heal me from my sin. Psalm 103 says, who healeth all thy diseases? The greatest one being our sin. The next one is Exodus 17, verse 15. Our Lord declared his name to be Jehovah Nisi. That means the Lord is our victory. The Lord is our banner. That means victory, the one we're looking to for all of our victory. To call upon his name is to call upon his victory. His victory over sin, death, the grave, hell. To call upon his name is to say, outside of Christ, I have no victory. He's my victory. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my victory. The next one is in Judges 6:24. Our Lord declared his name to be Jehovah Shalom. Don't you love that? The Lord is our peace. Our peace with God. To call upon his name is to cry, he is our peace. You know, you've heard people ask the question, have you made your peace with God? Here's my answer. Nope. But Jesus Christ did. He's my peace. I'm looking to him. He broke that down, that middle wall of partition between us. In his blood. In his broken body. By his righteousness. He slew that enmity between us. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Christ is my peace with God. Number 5 is found in Psalm 23. You look this up in the concordance and it'll say, Jehovah Rea, the Lord is my shepherd. To call upon his name is to say, I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. I need someone to lead me, feed me, shelter me, protect me. So I'm calling upon you. The Lord is my provider, my healer, my victory, my peace, my shepherd. Number 6 is in Jeremiah 23, verse 6. The Lord God said, this is his name whereby he shall be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. To call upon his name is to call upon his righteousness. Our brother read all of Romans 10 for us just a moment ago. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. I'm not going about, we're not going about trying to establish our own righteousness before God. Christ is our righteousness. We're looking to him. We're crying out to him for that. He's our holiness. He's our perfection. He's our goodness. If we don't have him, we don't have one. The Lord is my righteousness. And the last one that we'll mention this morning is in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. Our Lord declared his name to be Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord is there, the Lord is here, the Lord is near, the Lord is with us. It means he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. If you see your need in him, if you see him to be your provider, your healer, your victory, your peace, your shepherd, your righteousness, your security, all your hope and stay, then call upon the name of the Lord. If you do, then call upon the name of the Lord. If you desire to, it is God who put that desire in you. It is God who gave you the life and the ability and the faith to call upon him. It is God who revealed your need to you. And God gets all the glory for that. But if he does cause us to cry out to Christ, save me. Lord, save me. If God does cause us to cry out to Christ, that's our evidence that we shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, cause us to call. All right.